Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the Banca Sistema 9-month 2016 results conference call. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Gianluca Garbi, Chief Executive Officer of Banca Sistema. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon to everybody. I'm here with Margherita Mattelli and Carlo Di Pierro. I'm pleased to present the result of the first 9 months of 2016. We purchased Beta StepStone on the 1st of July 2016, and we received authorization by Bank of Italy that will allow us to fully merge Beta into Banca Sistema from the 1st of January 2017. The following 9 months 2016 results include, therefore, the Beta StepStone contribution from the 1st of July to the end of July 2016. The net income, I'm on page three of the presentation. The net income has increased 17% on a year-on-year basis, which reached 21.4 million, with the Beta StepStone contribution for 0.9 million. 50.8 million is the net interest income, with an increase of 18% on a year-on-year basis. The total operating cost and the loan loss provision is in line with the expectation, and the return on average equity is at  27%. The 9-month 2016 factoring turnover has increased on a year-on-year basis at 19%, and we target a growth till year-end to reach the level of about 20%. The VAT turnover is more than double compared to the previous year, with a good contribution to the net interest income. The CQS and SME outstanding has reached 293 million, with an increase on a year-on-year basis of 88%. Our position of Italian T-bills is at 0.4 billion as of 30th September 2016, and retail funding represents 48% of total funds. LCR is above the regulatory threshold of 100%. Core Tier 1 and total capital ratio has reached, including beta, respectively 12.4% and 14.8%. Moving to the slide number 4, our growth at 19% in the 9 months of this year is in line with the expectation. If we also take into account beta, this number will be 20%. The market environment has not changed. The delay of payment and also the growth of other market players suggest further growth. The DSO mentioned by Asso Biomedica don't show any significant change from the previous period. The agreement that we have set up with the retail bank for the distribution of our product has contributed for 12% of our total turnover in the 9 months of activity. If you compare to the previous period of last year, or the same period of last year, the contribution was 5%. Following the beta consolidation, you can see that the weight of the local healthcare organization, the so-called ASL, is up on a quarter by quarter at 15% on the total outstanding. Moving to the slide number 5, we have reached a good level of business diversification with 22% of total loan to customer represented by CQS, CQP and SMEs. We reach an outstanding of 212 million. 86% of the portfolio is related to the public administration. We will grow further also in the next quarter. We expect our CQS securitization, of which the senior and the mezzanine tranches have been rated last week by DBRS and Moody's, to become eligible at the ECB pretty soon. At the same time, we are now considering, thanks to that, a partial or total sale of those of this securitization that today has an amount outstanding of 170 million and that may reach 190 million in a few weeks due to eligible assets that are already present in our balance sheet that simply need to be transferred into the securitization. The SME state guarantee loan is pretty much stable, and now let me leave the floor to Margherita for more in-depth analysis of the result. Thank you.
Thank you, Gianluca. Good afternoon to everyone. Moving to the income statement, I'm on slide number 6. We are closing our first 9 months of the year with a net income of 21.4 million euro. As mentioned, we are now consolidating data starting from July. So these numbers include the 3 months of beta contribution for 0.9 million for the third quarter of 2016. Looking more into the detail of the income statement, as you can see, the net interest income is 59 million and it is up 18% year on year. Of course, this is including 7.9 million of LPIs accrual. As you will recall, from second quarter 2016, we started to book 15% of total LPIs use on the legally actioned receivables of our outstanding portfolio. Out of this amount, 4.9 relates to prior periods. 85% of total net interest income is represented by factoring, and this is to be compared with 92% in 2015. Net interest income increases year on year. This is thanks to the contribution of beta for 1.7 million in Q3 2016. Thanks to lower cost of funding, which is pretty stable quarter on quarter, and by an increased contribution from CQS, CQP, and SME loans, as well as from additional contribution deriving from factoring VAT receivables. The contribution of our government bond portfolio is contracting significantly year on year. Carry trade on the government bond position has a very limited impact on our net interest income, approximately 0.8 million. And income deriving from government bonds disposal is down to 1.1 million from 2.5 in the 9 months of 2015. Loan loss provision increases mainly as a consequence of more deterioration of the SME's portfolio, while personal expense reflects headcount growth year on year. Net income in the first 9 months of 2016, as you may recall, includes the gain of 2.3 million, which was booked in the second quarter, deriving from the disposal of a portion of our stake in CS Union. Moving on to slide number 7 and looking at the balance sheet. As you can see, total assets stand at 1.8 million as at the end of September 2016, which is down 2.4 million, down from the 2.4 billion at the end of September 15. The reduction is driven essentially by the reduction in our government bond portfolio, which is now down to 0.4 billion, deriving from the reduction from the decision that we took in the second quarter 2016 to downsize the portfolio in view of Brexit. The government bond portfolio reduction is also influencing the reduction of repos on the asset side as well as on the liability side, is impacting the reduction in the loans at advance to customers, and it also driving the reduction in due to customers on the liability side. Factoring receivables are in line with the previous quarter, and this is excluding the contribution of beta steps on the factoring outstanding, which is 60 million, and as mentioned, this is consolidated from the 1st of July. CQS and CQP position increases up to 212 million from 120 million at the end of 2015, and this is due to the additional volumes. Tangible assets increases quarter on quarter, and this is due to the purchase of a building in Milan for approximately 22 million, which building is going to be the new headquarters for the bank from 2017. Due to bank items increases quarter on quarter due to additional interbanking funding, and year on year is also increasing due to the additional funds from the ECB. Retail funding is decreasing compared to last year, and it is in line quarter on quarter based on our business needs and in line with our funding diversification strategy. Turning on to slide number 8, and looking more in detail into the factoring business, from the histogram on the top right of the slide, you can see the evolution of our factoring outstanding, which is influenced by the turnover seasonality, and more specifically from the higher turnover that we normally have in the last quarter of each year. It is also influenced by the new portfolio purchases with lower funding period compared to the past, and by the portion of outstanding which is in legal collection. Looking at the graph at the bottom right of the slide, we are reporting the target yield at expected collection date from September 2015. The September 2016 expected yield at 4.4% is in line with our expectation in an increased competition environment. On the lower left hand side, we show the trend of our average gross yield, which is recasted with the LPI 15% accrual. We remind that the gross yield on factoring is including interest and commission income. And this is, of course, before the cost of funds and the servicing charge. I also recall that this is just for Banca Sistema, excluding the beta assets. Average gross yield in September stood at 7.8%, in line with what we have reported in the second quarter of 2016. Including the new assets from beta, the gross yield goes up to 8.2%. Moving to slide number 10, sorry, 9. We are showing the total operating costs, which are up 12% year on year. This is including the contribution to the National Resolution Fund, which was posted in the first quarter 2016, but also the refund from the contribution of the fund of 2014 for TERCAS, which we posted in the second quarter 2016, and also 0.2 provision for the expected contribution to the fund for the deposit scheme. In the other cost, we have included the new initiative cost for 2.1 million, of which 1.1 relates to the securitization and 1 million relates to M&A fees, including the fees paid for the beta position. Personal expense, which represents 42% of total operating costs, increased from 9.7 million in 2015 to 11.1 million in 2016. Of these, beta is contributing for 0.3 in the third quarter 2016. The increase in personal expense cost is reflecting the headcount increase on the bank, which has moved from 136 FTEs in 2015 up to 143 at the end of September 2016, including 14 new headcount from beta Stepstone. Servicing costs are 12% of total operating costs, are fully variable as you may recall, and are decreasing year on year despite the increase on the activity, on the factoring activity. Cost income stands at 45%. Moving to the funding on slide number 10. Retail funding represents 48% of total funds, 42% at the end of 2015. Retail funding covers 55% of the core business against 71% in 2015, but pretty much in line quarter on quarter. The reduction in retail funds in the third quarter of 2016 is driven by term deposits, a reduction of term deposits in Italy, and an increase from Germany and Austria, which brings the foreign components of the term deposits equal to 21% at the end of September. The average residual duration of term deposits is in pretty much in line quarter on quarter, and it is approximately 18 months. In October, so after the close of the 9 months, we have increased the offer rates on term deposits, and this is in line with our strategy to maintain a desired balance between wholesale and retail funds. On the cost of funding side, the term deposits cost of funding went down from 210 basis points in first half 2016 down to 200. And this is also driving the decrease in total retail funding costs, which is down to 1.5% from 1.6%. The total funding cost of the bank, which is including wholesale funds, is down 30 basis points compared to the end of 2015. The funding diversification strategy is in line with what we have already reported at the end of June and includes the securitization of CQS, which was rated last week, as Gianluca just mentioned. And of course, we expect that to bring additional cheaper funds from the ECB. The private placement of a 2-year senior bond for 70 million, for which we expect potentially to be reopened for an additional issuance of same duration, and the LTRO for 123 million, as well as an increased interbanking funding. Moving to slide number 11 and looking at risk policy. I always remind you that our exposure is essentially towards the Italian public administration, so a relevant part of our non-performing loans are related to public administration. The gross non-performing loans increases quarter on quarter, mainly because of past due and from beta contribution. Net bad loans represent 2% of total loans at the end of September, and this is calculated excluding repo, and it is to be compared with 1.1% at the end of 2015. Bad loans increase quarter on quarter is due to some deterioration of SMEs state guaranteed loans, and to some extent from factoring, where we have seen 4 additional municipalities going into distressed procedure. Past due quarter on quarter increase, excluding beta contribution for 4 million, is due to the purchase of portfolio in the third quarter 2016 with obligors which were already classified as past due, as well as from the worsening of public administration payment time. We do expect to remain pretty stable or to be lower at the end of 2016. Loan loss provision is slightly higher quarter on quarter. In Q3 2016, we posted 1.8 million of loan loss provision against 1.7 in the second quarter of 2016, with a pretty stable cost of risk, which stood at 51 basis points at the end of September. Moving to the regulatory capital, which is slide number 12, CET1 and TCR at the end of September, including beta consolidation, are at 12.4% and at 14.8%. The reduction quarter on quarter is driven by the contribution of beta, the past due increase, and by the CQS and CQP portfolio growth, as well as from the factoring activity from private clients, as well as from the purchase of the new building, which is impacting for 22 million. I remind you that every year, during the last quarter, we have to update our operational RWA, which will need to be reviewed based on the average results generated in the year, based on the results of the previous 2 years. This average, based on annualized result of the first 9 months of 2016 and the result of 2015 as well as 2014, will increase the operational RWA up to 130 million from the 101.5, which we reported at the end of September. I think this is pretty much it on my side, so thank you for your attention, and I would leave it to Gianluca for his final consideration.
So thank you, Margherita. So for the last part of this year, we expect, as was the case also in the previous years, to generate a significant part of the full year factoring turnover due to the seasonable effect of our business. We will also expect, as I mentioned before, further growth on the CQS, that in case of a sale of the securitization may be reduced at year end. As I said, beta will be merged as of the 1st of January 2017. Unfortunately for the country, there is a serious concern that the coming referendum will not pass, and as a consequence, we expect a period of significant volatility, and we therefore decided to reduce our position in short-term Italian government bond. On the other hand, we may also expect that if this will be the outcome of the referendum, there will be an increased volatility that could increase the appetite for selling Italian assets, which might turn eventually into positive impact for our business. So that's all on my side, and I'm at your disposal with Margherita to answer to any question.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. The first question is from Luigi Tramontana, Banca Akros. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, good afternoon. Thank you for the presentation. My question is mainly on capital, given that it was reassuring to see that your gross yield has finally stabilized in Q3 and even improved once beta stepstone is included. So on capital, my question is the following, given that you're losing 200 bips of capital in a quarter. As far as I remember, the acquisition of beta absorbed some 70 bips, and I see that the credit quality deterioration had a significant impact too, while the acquisition of the new property in Milan had an impact of roughly 30 bips, as far as I can see. In the last quarter, we are going to have the impact of on the operational risk, if understood well, some 30 million euros of additional RWAs. So all other things being equal, I see that your common equity will be in the region of 12% at the end of the year. Is that correct?
Okay. So thank you for your question. In terms of capital, I think that the change in the capital is driven by few items, which is one is related to the increased position of CQS, which has a RWA at 75%, and that will have an immediate effect. For this reason, as we mentioned since the inception, was to create a securitization and to eventually sell the securitization to give space and free up capital. The second component is the position of overdue. As was mentioned before by Margherita, the position in overdue was driven mainly by public administration that has moved to the position of overdue, and we have purchased assets in the last period that related to positions that were already in overdue. So as you know, because of the rules, all the positions will end up to be overdue. On that front, our collection is making all the effort in order to get the payment that will allow under the rules to free up regulatory capital. So this, I would say, beside the point that you mentioned, are probably the biggest component, one of which the CQS, due to the capital absorption, is very significant. Bear in mind that as far as we know, there are still undergoing discussion, and to be honest, it seems that those discussions should have been over a while ago, between Italian regulator and the European Banking Authority, that because this CQS product is collateralized by salary and pension and is also insured, the 75% RWA that apply to personal loan could be reduced. Clearly, if this will happen, will be immediate release that will allow us to eventually take even more time before selling the securitization. Otherwise, the securitization, as mentioned, is at disposal.
So, sorry, just a follow-up. Once you will sell the securitization, so you will deconsolidate 190 million euros, we are going to have the capital release.
Correct, yes. If we sell 100%, this will be 100 million of capital relief at 75%.
Okay, thanks a lot.
The next question is from Tony Deng of Barclays. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for the presentation. I have three questions, if I may. Firstly, I echo that it's very reassuring that your growth yield has stabilized and the uptake if beta is included. I would hope that the beta growth yield standalone is around 13.5%. Is that correct? And why is it so high compared to your usual business? It seems very good, given that it's quite a small contribution to the factoring outstanding as a whole. Secondly, on that same slide, why is your target yield so low in September 2016 at only 4.4%? It seems that the funding period did not go down as much, but there's quite a sharp decline just for that month in the yield. So that was my second question. And my third question is, Gianluca, do you reiterate the guidance of expected 20% growth in factoring turnover for the full year? This is what you said in the last result. And where can it rise to if the negative outcome for the referendum comes true? Where can we see the volatility stimulus take your factoring turnover to, given that Q4 is such a key quarter? Those are my questions. Thank you.
Okay, so thank you very much. On the, if I understood correctly, the your point about the beta, so the total assets indeed is very limited, but the contribution in terms of net interest is quite significant.
Yeah.
And this is because on the beta, there was a position which has been released in this period due to an outcome from a court judgment. As you know, the beta approach is has been always to take the asset and then to do, take legal action on all of this, of all of that. So this is a volatility because the outcome of a court judgment is something that is very difficult to predict when it will come, but when it will come, it will create a positive impact. So in this, this is the case on the contribution. In terms of a target portfolio at 4.4%, in the last quarter, we purchased an important portfolio of receivable where the seller has explicitly asked us to take immediate legal action and to collect late payment interest on that portfolio. As you know, we usually, this is not the usually an ordinary way when we collect receivable, because we try, we tend to rely on non-legal action and only on the discount from the face value. In this case, the acquisition price was very close to the face value, so without much amortization composition, that the legal action are going to happen immediately as soon as the obligors will be notified, which has been already notified in the meantime, and this was part of the request of the seller. So for this reason, you see that the yield that we always target is always excluding LPIs. So all the yields that you have here in the target is the discount only. Any LPIs will go on top. So in this case, of course, there will be a component that as soon as the asset will be in legal action, we will start to accrue it for 15% of the 8% due until we will collect. But this is going to happen quite soon. In terms of 20% on a year-on-year basis, I confirm that based on our visibility of today, it seems that the 20% target could be reached, so the area of 20%. In terms of referendum, that is a very difficult question because the outcome of the referendum, it depends what is going to happen also the day after. While on one end, I do expect a no vote for the simple reason that today it seems a vote in favor or against our current prime minister. And if I look at in any country, I don't see in the history any prime minister that has a consensus of absolute majority. So if this is going to be the case also in Italy, I will expect that the no outcome will be there. Then it really depends how much is going to be the difference, whether there's going to be a new Renzi government or because the gap will be so huge, and that could change pretty much the volatility. You know that there are a couple of capital increase in the Italian banks that are on hold due to the referendum, and so this could create a lot of turbulence, turmoil, and clearly this will bring us back to what was the situation when we started in 2011, where we have seen a portfolio coming from US mainly supplier to Italian public administration that while usually don't sell receivable, when they see this level of volatility, the headquarter will take the decision to get rid of Italian risk. How much is going to be, it's very difficult because it also depends how much is going to be tied to the yes or no vote at the referendum.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Christian Carrese, Intermonte. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, everybody. I have three questions. The first one is on net interest income. You confirmed the guidance on turnover. I was wondering, what do you expect will be the contribution from late payment interest in the fourth quarter? And if you see a different seasonality compared to last year, I mean, in terms of higher turnover, but maybe a positive effect postponed to the first quarter of 2017 or already in 2016. And then if you can also explain to us what could be the effect of the securitization. Are you going to book any capital gain if you're going to sell those loans? How does it work? Then the second question, the second question then on costs. What should we expect in the fourth quarter? Any extra cost related to Beta Stepstone acquisition? If I remember properly, you said in the last presentation no contribution in 2016 by Beta Stepstone. And finally, on strategy, if you see any opportunity to diversify the business, the revenues, if you see any potential target of acquisition. Thank you.
Okay, so maybe Margherita will answer to your first two questions and I will answer to the third one.
Okay, the first question was on net interest income and expected contribution from LPIs in the last quarter. I think Of course, the expectation is to see pretty much the level that we've seen in this quarter on in terms of collection of LPIs. In terms of contribution from accrued LPIs, we do actually expect to increase the amount of portfolio which is currently under legal action. So we do expect an increase from LPIs to be accrued based on the 15% rule that we have implemented. In terms of the higher turnover in the last quarter and its effect on the income statement, I think this is to be expected, exactly in line with what we've seen in the past years. So the turnover is of December, which is the month in which we do actually see the higher turnover. That turnover is actually deploying its effects in the first quarter 2000 of the following year. So we do expect that to be seen in 2017, definitely. In terms of the second question, if I'm not wrong, was on the effect of the securitization sale, in case we do go in that direction. Despite we are not able to know the amount, we do expect to have a positive contribution in case of a sale of our securities. So we do expect that, so we are not able to say an amount for that. Going to your last question, beta contribution for the last quarter. As Gianluca previously mentioned, the contribution that we see in the last 3 months includes a sort of a one-off. So we do expect further contribution coming from the business in line with what we've seen in the last quarter, considering the non-recurring item. We do also expect to the other end to come in the integration costs, which we have not incurred yet. So the costs related to the integration of beta is are something which we will see coming through in the last quarter of 2016. I will leave it to Gianluca.
Yeah, maybe the only point on beta, as I mentioned also in the past, if you look at the total number of headcount, we were at under 36 headcount. Plus beta that represents 14, we end up to 143. Means that the 7 headcount saving, whether these were employee of beta or employee of the bank, has been already incorporated in the FTE. So the saving from an headcount and redundancy is already incorporated. In terms of strategy, we are still looking at a few transactions that we have in the pipeline in the area of diversification, not in the area of our current core business. So indeed, we are still working on that. These processes are quite lengthy and time consuming to keep the party in agreement. So we hope to be able to do something by year end, as I mentioned also in the past. So that is my hope, but it depends.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Philip Dobbin of Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Sorry, guys. I think all my questions have been asked, so I've got nothing to add. Sorry about that.
Sorry for that. Next time, we will let you come first.
Okay, thank you.
As a reminder, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and one on your telephone. The next question is from Tony Zhang, Barclays, which is a follow-up. Please go ahead.
Hi, I just have some quick questions, mainly on the P&L. On the costs, it seems that your servicing cost was quite low and down year on year in Q3. Is there any particular reason? Is this indicative of a future run rate? My second question is, do you expect any further contribution into the National Deposit Scheme and Resolution Fund in Q4, given that you've paid some this quarter? And my third question is, your take-on rate for the retail deposits has gone up. I think it used to be about 1.6%. I understand the reason, but is this expected to increase the total cost of funding in 2017, or is the use of ECB securitization and so on will be more than enough to offset it? Thank you.
Maybe Margherita will
on the servicing side, I think what we are seeing, as mentioned, is that we are seeing a reduction on our servicing cost, which is something that we have been seeing for a while, starting from the beginning of the year, and this is due to the fact that we have we are managing internally the collection, whilst in the past we were referring to external, more widely to external servicer and collection and collectors, and this does have an effect on our unit cost of collection, which is significantly going down. So this is why what we are seeing is, despite increased activity on the factoring, the overall servicing cost is going down significantly.
And there's more to come, or
I think what we can say is that we are stabilizing, because of course we were recording more widely into the external servicer last year, so the variance that you see year on year is driven by that. Of course, when you look at the numbers in 2017 compared to the lower cost of servicing that we have today, you will not see the decrease anymore, so you cannot expect the same trend of decrease in the future years.
Thank you. Yeah, that's clear.
Maybe now, one point on the contribution to the National Resolution Fund. Margherita will give you in a second the number that we expect to contribute this year. Bear in mind that Banca Sistema decided, together with a limited number of other Italian banks, not to contribute to the voluntary fund that the authority has put together in order to make support to banks that are going in default. And for this reason, we have received the money back from Tercas, and this money will not be returned. For this reason, we have not been asked to contribute to recent default that happened, and for this reason, we will not be asked to contribute to other couple of banks default that are already on the air and are not, certainly, we are not contributing to the voluntary part of the scheme, as not contributed to the Fondo Atlante for the NPLs and rescue of the banks. Together with us, probably there are other smaller banks, but there is also some other large players, such as Credem, that also decided that probably is not wise to continue to contribute to this voluntary scheme, and maybe it's better at certain point to face the issue and let those banks to go, rather than continue to inject money and increase the losses going forward. In terms of the contribution to the mandatory one, maybe Margherita will give you the number.
The numbers that we have in the books up to the end of September, we have 655,000 euros as a contribution to the National Resolution Fund, while we have a release from the Tercas contribution, which was paid in 2014 to the Fondo Interbancario for 290K. And we have posted, based on informal information that we had for the fund, 200K of ordinary contribution to the Fondo Interbancario, with the expectation of a total cost for the year of 400K. But this is, again informal information, and it needs to be confirmed. So we just booked 200K based on that. It might be more, it might be less.
take on rate.
Of course, we have increased the rates on secondo deposito. So we will see the take on rate going up on term deposits. To the other end, we continue to aim at maintaining a balance between retail and wholesale funds. So to one end, we do expect to see the cost of retail funds going up, but leveraging the securitization on the CQS more and more, because we do expect to leverage that even more last year doing additional securitizations. We hope to maintain the cost of funding at the current levels overall.
Great, thank you very much.
Mr. Garbi, there are no more questions registered at this time.
So thank you, everybody, and we will talk at the next release of full year result. Thank you. Bye.